Father, may we glean all that we can. May we be open to hear correction, instructions of righteousness, Lord, that we might be complete. And Father, we just thank you so much that you have given us your word to encourage us for that spiritual nutrition. And so, Father, as we feast on your word, may you bless us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so glad that every now and then I give you guys a break from my whiny, screechy, annoying voice. And I ask someone in leadership to come up and share from God's word. So I've asked my son Randy to come up and share. So give, where is he at? Oh.
He says his screechy, whiny voice, but oftentimes when I get on the phone, people mistake me for him. So congratulations, you have another screechy, whiny guy. While this is loading, we'll pray real quick. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, what you have me sharing, Lord, would be your spirit, Lord, and not my flesh, not my lips, not my thoughts, my opinions, Lord, but, Lord, just your word and its truth in love. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can look to your word and look to your son to make an impact in our lives. And to make an impact on the lives that are around us. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, we're talking some hard stuff here. But before we do that, I just want to start with some encouraging scriptures. Tonight we're going to be talking about brokenness, okay? But I have a few scriptures. You can look them up. I'm just going to read them real quick. But the first one is going to be Psalms 34:18. The Lord draws near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God and a broken spirit, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O Lord, will you not despise?" Psalm 147 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Oftentimes when we think of brokenness, it's something that is scary because of the fact that there has to be breaking in order for brokenness to come. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I don't want you to answer them out loud or even loud enough for the person next to you to hear. But just think about it and answer yourself. And that's kind of weird, answer yourself. I answer myself. But just, you know, answer yourself in your mind. But anyway, so I lost my spouse today. They left me for another. Is this brokenness? My house was destroyed in a hurricane and I lost my job. Is this brokenness? I serve in four ministries. I lead two. I'm at every event, and I'm stressed out of my mind. Is this brokenness? I'm in jail because I stole something, or I did drugs, or I killed someone, or whatever the crime may have been. Is this brokenness? I'm going to try and, in the study, attempt to explain brokenness, and maybe a different way that the world might perceive what brokenness is. Okay? Brokenness isn't the tragedies that occur in our lives. It's not the loss or the lack of emotion. True brokenness is the realization that we can't fix, we can't build, we can't please anything or anyone. It's the realization and the acceptance that we need God in order for those things to be fixed. Who here likes eggs? Like for breakfast, you know, like eggs. Majority of people like eggs. I know you guys can tell I like eggs because I like store like a dozen right there in this thing. But what does it take to eat an egg other than your appetite? What do you have to do to the egg in order to eat it? You're break it, break it. You have to break the egg. You know, it has that hard shell. It doesn't want to be broken. It's not meant to be broken, or is it meant to be broken? I don't know. But this is a good way to describe this with how God breaks us. He has to break us before he can use us. Okay? And we have a choice after that. We have a choice after we've been broken to either reflect God, the Son of God, be a little sunny side up, you know, or run away from what he has for us. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So in that verse, we should know that if God's using a trial or a situation in our life to break us, he tells us that he means no evil for us. He only wishes peace for us and wants to give us a future and a hope. Oftentimes you see an egg in the grocery store, and that's broken inside the carton, and what do people want to do? They want to throw it out. Right? Same thing in our Christian walk. Sometimes we become broken, and other people see that broken person, and they think they need to be thrown out. But that's not the case. You know, God can use that. God can make some scrambled eggs or something. You know, I mean, but we can't do anything on our own. We can't do anything on our own to find that peace and love and happiness and fulfillment. There's nothing we can do. We see that constantly through rock stars. You know, the lead singer from Korn, you know, he was a good example. He's all kinds of crazy lyrics in his songs and song titles, and became saved and witnessed to thousands and maybe millions of people, and said that his whole life he was searching for fulfillment, searching for joy, searching for love, and he was finding it in all the wrong places, all the earthly places. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." And it doesn't say only the impossible things, it says all things, right? So, but that can only happen if we have Christ with us. So if true brokenness occurs in you, you'll see that fighting to stay in the shell after you've been broken is pointless. Trying to be a little Humpty Dumpty's is pointless. Trying to keep that wall is pointless and stay fit with the world. You begin to realize that the experiences and the solitude, the tragedies, we tend to use those to take our eyes off of God and to refocus them on ourselves. Often, oh man, I'm stressed, my job, man, and I don't have money, but you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or sometimes even beyond that, and going to crazy attempts, you know, robbing other people because we're trying to fix our little problem. The troubles we face are often, you know, the things that lead us to brokenness. So all that list that I listed, that wasn't brokenness, but those things can cause brokenness. So what happens? Where's the difference between somebody that's broken and somebody that's broken, and then somebody that's actually experiencing brokenness? I like to look at like a kid at Christmas time. You know, the night before, he's like, "I can't sleep. I want to open the presents." But but his parents are like, "Go to sleep and tomorrow will come sooner." But in his mind, he doesn't think like that. You know, he's like, "Ah," and I'm sure most of us have probably been there. I still am there. But Then he finally goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and he realizes that he fell asleep, and it's time, and he jumps out of bed, he runs to the Christmas tree, and he's sitting there, and he's like, Mom and Dad, where are they at? Goes and finds them, boom, get them. The present's there, bam, first present in front of him. He opens the present, and it's not exact that one, you know, that one special present you've been asking for all year, maybe even multiple years, and you didn't get, and it wasn't that one, so it's like, oh, this is cool. Over here. What's next? You know, and that's how I see myself even in my walk. You know, do you remember when you first came to the Lord, and maybe it was at a church, maybe it was at your home beside your bed, or you were listening to the radio in a car, or you were talking to a friend, and you just felt that overwhelming call on your life? That was the brokenness I'm talking about. That was the point when you were like just so in awe of God that you were like, man, I can't do this by myself. The way that I live, the way that the things that come out of my mouth to my friends and my family or even people I don't know down the road because he cut me off, or you know, just because he looked at me funny, or you know, and you realize that all of those things, there's nothing you could do. And so you surrendered your life to God out of that brokenness. And that point that you surrendered your life to God, you felt that burden lifted. Right? That it was like it was gone. And you were given something. We were all given something. We were given a few things. One of those things was eternal life with Christ the Father. One of those things was forgiveness of sin. Peace that surpasses understanding, which I believe comes from the fact that Christ allows His Spirit to live inside of us at that point. Well, what happened to it? What happens to it? Some of us say, well, I don't have peace anymore. I say, that's almost a weekly thing for me. I come to the end of the week and I'm like, man, stress. But I create it. I created the stress, and it's we're going to look at how that happens. I can only say that because I walk through it, and you know, we lose it. We lose grasp of that peace. We lose grasp of God's Spirit in our lives. We lose grasp of the brokenness. God uses those trials, those hardships, those things that, you know, we stress over to get us to go back to that first time, that first feeling that we had with Christ in the beginning. Sometimes those things are being used. I'm not going to say that happens for every single time. I believe that, you know, the enemy works to sway us from time to time. But I will say that probably 9 times out of 10, it's that our, you know, he's trying to bring us back because we've allowed ourselves to get back into that sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we get saved through brokenness. And there may be humility, but it starts to wear out. And we think when we leave that particular area or wherever it was or whatever we were doing, that we can go back to our normal lives. But now that we have Christ, now we have some kind of shield, right? Because that's what everybody thought. You know, it's like, okay, now I got this Christian shield. Now I can walk back and I'm going to be okay. But it doesn't work that way. Hosea 4:6. I need a drink of water real quick. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you reject knowledge, I also reject you from being the priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forgot your children. It sounds harsh, but it's because we allowed sin to creep back into our lives, little or big. It doesn't matter. All just a little sin or a little bit turns into a bigger ball. It was like an avalanche. Just and we might have some self, you know, some self control. Some of us might be like, I don't do anything. I don't steal anything. I don't, you know, but lies, you know, anger, lack of forgiveness, all of these things. And all of these things we should know because we're not being obedient to God's word. We need to come back to the acceptance and the obedience of his word. Like it says in Hosea, you know, we have forgotten the law of our God. Well, if, you know, we won't forget the law of our God if we're in our Bible every day and we're praying every day. And that realness of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us will be there for us every day on a daily basis. And I fail hard at that. And then I wonder, you know, I go to my dad or I go to somebody, I'm like, man, I don't know why I feel this way, man. I'm just irritated. I can't seem to get up on my finances, or I can't seem to, you know, do this or do that, or I. When it should be, Lord, you know, whatever your will is. So at that time, whatever we felt, we, you know, was lifted off of our shoulders. And we felt that because God carried the cross for us. Because he took on the sin. He holds that weight. So when we accept it, when we accepted him, and we felt that, he's holding that for us. And Hebrews 12:1 explains this, I mean, just so easily. And most of you know this, it's the race of faith. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin in which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So as soon as we got saved, actually, before then, we're in a race. But we're not at the finish line we're not at the starting line before we got saved. We're going to the race. God's put us here on earth. He's given each and every one of us an opportunity to choose life. You know, we have life. We didn't choose life. God gave us life, right? But now that we have life and we've been raised up, we've been given an opportunity to choose him, right? And then you chose Christ and you accepted him. And the race begins. This guy's running so much faster than you because he doesn't have no weight like me. I got all kinds of weight. But if you drop that weight, if you drop those sins, now the race becomes a little easier for you. You drop more sin, it becomes a little more easier for you. It's like that, you know, cartoon or every movie that has a blimp and it's like, oh, we're sinking. Throw something off. Oh. You know, that's what we should be doing with our sin constantly. It's just like, get it out of here. So we can get to heaven. Man, we're sinking. You know? Yeah, we got saved and now the torch is going, but it's not enough. We have to continue to allow God to break us and work in our lives, but we have to be willing. And we have to, that's where the brokenness comes. It's the acceptance and obedience of his word. And like I was saying with the little kid and the gifts, you know, one of the other things that we received was the eternal life, but we don't have that right now. I mean, we do. When we die eventually, we experience that part. We don't see the heaven, you know, right now. We can't, we don't get to experience that right now. And so a lot of us, I hear it, and I'm excited for it too. Don't get me wrong, I'm extremely excited for it. But I think there's a reason why God gave us each life and breath here on earth. And I think if we try and throw that away, then we're missing out on what God's trying to work in us. You know, He's making a master meal with each. He wants to make a master meal with each and every one of us. But if we keep fighting Him, you know, He gives us a choice. He's like, Randy, come on, man. Stop. Get out of the shell. Get out of the shell. You know, I didn't put this in my notes, but I don't think I've ever shared any of this with any of you guys, but 5 years ago, I slept on the streets in front of a church because I didn't have anywhere to go. I was doing it my way. And so many of my friends and believers and non-believers, oh, you need to do it this way, you need to do it that way. I don't want to do it anyone's way but my way. I looked to drugs and other things to satisfy what I thought I needed in life. But I was so oblivious. I was of why I was even here or what this life even really meant. You know, it's easy to think that's not gonna, that's, you know, we drive by and we see the guy on the end, on the road with the camo pants and the, you know, the dog, and he's holding the sign for money every day. He makes a comment as you go by, but you kind of like look the other way or look at your ashtray and you're like, no, I don't have change. It's so easy to say that you're not going to be that guy, but I became that guy even after I had been given opportunity and broken. He broke me and I climbed back in the egg and taped myself together. And I climbed back in the egg and I taped myself together until finally I was in the street and I realized that I can't. That we can't. And so he broke me again. And I said, okay. And I smashed the egg. And I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to help you. Okay? That's what we need to do. We need to just say, you know what? And I lost touch with that. The other night I was thinking, I was like, what is brokenness, Lord? And I was thinking about it, and I was like, I've experienced that. But I fell away. I forgot. We need to remind ourselves sometimes, even if it feels painful, you know what? The after effect of it is so rewarding. That shell gets hot, you know? We're so selfish, and we don't want any more pain. We don't have any more bills. You know, we would just get to heaven, man. Why can't He take me now? God has blessed us with life. We turn our lives into a please fest of earthly things and cars and TVs and games and stuff. Sometimes it's even to please other people. It's not what it's about. It's no easy thing to do, to die to the flesh and so that we can find peace and fulfillment in the spiritual. It's extremely, extremely hard. But that's what we have each other for, you know? And sometimes, like I said, that's, you know, we're afraid to go to maybe each other with our brokenness because we're afraid that we might get thrown out. We're afraid that we're that bad egg in the store and somebody might look at us the wrong way, so we're afraid to share that with other people. But that's what God has called us to come together so that we can lift each other up to the Lord and keep pushing each other to get rid of those things. When we see our brother being broken, encourage him to stay through the process so that he can become refined and new and a sweet aroma to the Lord. We need to return to that first love that refreshing love that we first felt with God. We need to realize that there is no we, there is no I can, but that there's only Him and He can. And we can only need. That's all we can do. We can only need. Some of you men might think, everyone's story is a little different. And some, I know when I may have been walking on my own and have heard this message, at times I would have said, like, okay, that ain't for me. I don't need to be like that. I'm just fine. But I'll tell you right now, if that's how you feel, you need to watch out. It's a dangerous road to travel if you think that you're standing on solid ground. And there's only one thing that we can do, and it's really easy to say, and it's hard to do, and it's to humble ourselves. Accept the brokenness. Humble ourselves before God, not, first and foremost, and then each other. if we could do this for one day, it would be, I can't imagine the amount of change in our lives each week. If we could just strive to do it one day, and then next, when we get the one day down, do it 2 days. It'd be, oh man, I could just imagine the fire that this church would have, and in each other, it would just be amazing. Matthew 14:24. It's a little on a different twist. The same thoughts, but Matthew 14:24-31. This is when Peter steps off the boat to go walk with Jesus. Most of you have heard this over and over again, but I'm going to read it again. We're forgetful people. 24, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch, the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter had answered to him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And Peter had come down. Out onto the off of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, and he became afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" If we've truly experienced brokenness, you've been broken, and you're truly experiencing that brokenness, that feeling of, Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm literally not going to work. I know you're going to take care of it. And you're humbled by it. Do you think that when you saw Peter, if you were in the boat and you saw Peter step off the boat and begin to sink, that you'd get mad at him? Or would you be encouraging to him as he began to sink, "Peter, come on"? Why is it then that we call ourselves believers, and yet if someone else stumbles, we get mad at them? And they're the same people that, they saw Peter walk, and he was being blessed by the Lord to walk to him on the water. Those same people, they stand in the boat And they don't get their, try and even step off the boat to get their feet wet. We have some folks in church that are like that. We have, they don't serve, they don't invest their time or truly exercise their faith, they so-called have. But they have plenty of complaints and orders and decisions to make. If we could stop that and just encourage one another, there would be some little Jesus lizards up in here. You know, humble ourselves and towards one another, and we'd step out there with Peter, man. I can't imagine what that would have. That'd been nuts. But, you know, the important thing would be, the important thing to know is that the things that we do succeed at, when God calls in our lives and he breaks us and he wants to do a work in us, and he's calling in our lives, he breaks us and wants to do a work in us, when we begin to tread that water to follow Christ, we have to realize that that water treading that we've done isn't of our own doing. It's because God did it for, God allowed us. God's using us. And we can't be afraid of the fact that he wants to use us. Don't be afraid of the fact that if God's calling in your life to do something or to step up to something, don't be afraid, just do it. God's going to bless you. That's what he said in his word. He has thoughts of peace and of love and of good things for you. A plan of a future and of hope. That's something, you know, that's something to party over. We had a baptism. That was awesome. It was super cool. Awesome fellowship. You know, that's something to live for on this earth too, not just in the heavenly. You know, this life's a gift from God. Everything around us and everything, I mean, a lot of this is man-made, but you can walk out in nature and just, you can feel that it's not by random happenstance this stuff just popped up. It's too incredible. There's your creator. He's there. And he's loving on us, and he wants to see us grow, but he wants you to want to grow. So this life is just the beginning of the gift, and he just wants us to appreciate it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for what is, Lord, one of the hardest things to swallow, and that's being broken. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, would be willing to accept that broken and turn it into brokenness, Lord, and humility, Lord, and love on one another and encourage one another. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be able to dwell in us because we've gotten rid of that fleshly desire to sin. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us through dying on the cross and forgiving us of those sins. Lord, I pray, Father, this evening, Lord, when we all go home, Lord, that this wouldn't be something that we forget. Lord, that we would look back and remember when we got saved, each and every one of us individually. That first day we fell in love with you. Lord, and if there's anyone in here that hasn't fallen in love with you, Lord, I pray that they would question you. Lord, and I pray that you would answer them. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.